Good morning, 638 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and we have a special treat for you today. Not that Wes Moreno is not a special treat, but he is on vacation. So filling in his stead, we have Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County, longtime firefighter, formerly the emergency manager for Escambia County. He's kind of worked his way up through the ranks, and now he's running that whole department. So fire, EMS, hurricane prep, all that stuff, that's his stuff. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir,
it's great to be here, and thank you for calling me a special treat. I appreciate that.
It's so true. Hey, so I have a lot of questions for you about fire and EMS, but I wanted to start with something that, you know, hurricane season starts, you know, what, June, I guess, and then by August is when real hurricane season starts. Like, if you look on a chart, you know, August and September, but August especially, is like the really high, heavy month of historical storms. And, you know, we haven't really had much so far this year, and I was thinking about that, and then I'm like, oh, here we go. So I wanted to give you a minute to make your pitch to folks, you know, to be prepared and tell them what they need to do and not to fall into the trap of thinking it can't happen just because it happened 2 years ago or whatever.
Absolutely. Very valid point. And, you know, hurricane season does start June 1st. And when we get to late August into September, most definitely, and through September, that's kind of the peak of our season. When I say our season, we can have a hurricane anytime during those 6 months. But the peak of our season is that's when they really get in the Gulf and they concentrate, you know, from Texas to over to the Big Bend area of Florida. And it has been relatively quiet. And that's, you know, everybody gets complacent. It's been kind of, you know, they expected above average hurricane season, and here we are only up to the third named storm, and really it was tropical storms, to be honest with you. So, but people still need to be vigilant. They still need to be prepared. We are hitting the meat of the season where we start seeing an increase in hurricanes. I know we've seen the Saharan dust come over, and they say as long as there's good dry dust out there, it'll kind of disrupt a hurricane from forming across the Atlantic. But we still have the ones we're really worried about are the ones here lately in the past couple of 5 years that form right here in the Gulf, right here off the Yucatan, and intensify rapidly. So we could still have a hurricane. You know, we're still in our season, and we're getting into the meat of it right now. So if you haven't got your plan by now, please go ahead and have a plan ready and prepared. You know your zone, know your home, and know your plan. If you're going to stay home, make sure your home's hardened, and make sure you have all the materials and the supplies that you need, such as, you know, 1 gallon of water per person per day, non-perishable food items, batteries, radios, first aid kits, ways to charge your phone, ways to communicate. And then if you're going to evacuate the area, make sure you have a plan, you know, notify your family members, how do they know where you're at? And, you know, just have those things in place and ready to go.
You know, and I appreciate you mentioning the quick pop-up storms that appear in the Gulf. Of course, this year, one of our storms was a quick pop-up in Georgia. And, you know, yes. or at least one of the possibles. And you're like, that can't happen. Anything can happen. Just, you know, you got to be prepared. And one thing I do want to... I feel like this isn't brand new shift, but it is a shift, at least in the 8 years that I've been here, because the advice was always the first 72 is on you. And that is no longer the time frame. You guys are telling people be prepared for 7 days, not 3 days, 7 days, right?
Very true. We're asking people to be 1 week ready. We found out during Sally's 72 hours, while we met a 72-hour crunch time frame, if we had anything more disastrous than what Sally was, it really would have impeded our response as far as resources coming in from the east. We had bridges that were flooded, so they had to redirect and go up in Alabama, down and around. And we said, man, that 72 hours is just not – there's a lot of moving parts that could really, you know, throw a wrench in your 72 hours trying to get things back up for the citizens. So we asked people to be 1 week ready because sometimes, even though we try to stage those resources close enough to the disaster area, it might, you know, the transportation routes might be impeded, or, you know, here lately, you go to try to buy something from the grocery store or try to buy a part for a car, and they're on back order or not manufactured for 6 months because of COVID.
Right.
So, you know, resources, we want to make sure that you're 1 week ready. That way you're prepared, you take care of yourself, and definitely, most definitely by then, infrastructure will start to be coming up, power start coming up, grocery stores start coming online, and resources will be in the definitely in the community by then.
And especially, I mean, you know, we lost the bridge, obviously, through my bridge during Sally, but can you imagine if we'd lost both bridges? And we were close to maybe having to do that with the barges floating out of control, and what that would have meant to our response time, our resupply time, the fact that we are at the tip edge of Florida, and, you know, I mean, all of it. So that's just all a good reminder. Switching gears a little bit, let's talk about Escambia County Fire and EMS. You actually have good news in the Fire Rescue Division, right?
That is correct. We received three of the six fire trucks last week. So three engines came in last week. One came in Monday, and then the other two came in Friday last week. We were proud to accept those and get those things. Right now, they're in the shop. So once we get the truck, it's not quite ready to go to work. We still have to equip it. We still got to do the hose testing. We've got to put the radios in it. We've got to put the tablet in it. So we're looking at about 2 weeks turnaround to get those trucks in the county, get the necessary equipment on it, and then kick them out to the stations. One's going to Century, one's going to Ferry Pass, and one's going to Interity Point. So those three trucks are in the county. Looking forward to getting those things pushed out. And then we've got three more on order, and we should start seeing those. You know, we ordered them last September, October. We're hoping to see those after the first of the year, January, February. So they should start hitting the assembly line here pretty quick. So, but we are happy that the first three trucks have arrived, and that'll help us out tremendously because, you know, we do have an aging fleet, and we do have trucks that go down time to time. And having those new trucks in will give a little bit of reprieve and let some of our older apparatus go to a better PM status. That way we can actually fix all the bugs and bells and whistles because we're having to turn these trucks pretty quick. Because they're frontline, so you know we get them in, fix what fleet fixes what they can, and gets them, and they get them back out, and now we can hopefully get a little bit better PM going on the older apparatus.
Preventative maintenance for people who aren't aware, and yeah, it's a good note.
I'm sorry.
No,
thank
it's
you.
All right. It's a good note because if you have, you know, your primary apparatus, what you call the frontline apparatus, and you got to send it to the shop, there is an urgency to get it back any way you can into functionality because obviously that's the question whether you can respond to a call or not. But when you have other equipment that can put a little bit of you know, kind of a buffer onto that demand, then you can really repair them to the proper level they're supposed to be, you know, fully up and functioning, and that also prolongs their lifespan instead of having to always be like crisis management with the fleet shortage. So that's all really good news. I'm excited about that. Eric, you've got a bunch of items on the agenda today. Any of those that you think people would be particularly interested in?
Well, several of them are just cleaning things up. Some of them are 911 contracts where the state had changed the funding source on me, so we're having to change our contract to meet the funding source cost centers. And then we got a garage change order. We have some extrication and / wildland bunker gear that we're buying with our new gear vendor. That's pretty exciting that we get a dual-purpose gear for our fire crews in the field. But we're also, we got on the agenda four rescue boats for fire. And these are, what we're asking to purchase is two. It's a double-stack trailer. So it's got a 16-foot aluminum, you know, what we call flat-bottom John boat on the bottom. And then on top, it's got a 14-foot inflatable with a 25-horse. And the aluminum bottom boat has a 50-horse. And it's a dual-stack trailer. And a lot of water rescue teams like Tennessee, Texas, they use these type trailers to go out there. They are prop-driven. We looked at jet-driven, looked at, you know, all the, you know, pros and cons of each. And we went with the prop-driven primarily because jet-driven, we can't get them right now. They couldn't give us a timeline in which we can get these boats or these assets in. But they do have a prop guard, and we can use these for, you know, when people get lost in a river. And, you know, up here in the Molina area and Cantonment, those fire stations do run quite a few, you know, boaters distressed or can't find people on the river. So, but we also can use them for flooding conditions. So we get a flooding event, we can utilize those assets to go out there and not worry and just go start plucking people from the homes if they, God forbid, if we get into a flooding situation. So we'll have two trailers, four assets that we can launch and deploy and get out there in a flooding event or just doing a search and rescue on the river. So we're pretty excited about that to have those assets if the board approves those today.
Most definitely. And, you know, as we saw in 2014 and as we have seen more recently in Kentucky, you know, having the people with the boats to get out on the water in a flooding situation, it's essential because right now is the threat. And, you know, I mean, cutting people out of their roofs is not something that you want to think about, but that's what we had to do. And, you know, being short boats to be able to rescue people is not a fun problem to have. Last quick thing, I saw that one of the tracking items that you're doing now is not just tracking held calls, but also tracking how often, for example, Escambia Fire Rescue or Pensacola Fire was responding to EMS calls. What was the purpose of that?
Yeah, so what we have is we have protocols that for EMS calls. We don't send fire to all our EMS calls because we don't want to tie our fire asset up for an alpha level call or a bravo level call. You know, alpha level call can be I've got a headache or I've got a backache or something of that nature. We do send our fire units to Charlie level calls, Delta level calls to get that first response immediately out there. And we were tracking, trying to make sure that, you know, we're trying to meet the need of the citizens and making sure that we're getting a resource or an asset to them in a timely manner so that we can either first response to it or get a ALS, Advanced Life Support Unit, ambulance to it in a timely fashion. You know, we had this situation in Perdita Key where we had a fainting type situation, and unfortunately the woman was at the restaurant for 45 minutes and a unit was not sent. Well, to us, that's an alpha level call. We were tied up multiple calls with EMS, and every time we tried to send a unit out there, it got diverted to a higher acuity call. So we were just tracking those things to make sure that we're trying to meet the need, that we're getting a resource to the appropriate type of calls. And of course, our dispatchers, and we have a lot of new dispatchers, and they're learning. They always have the right to override the protocol if they feel like there's an imminent threat or an imminent need for a response out there. But, you know, right now they are following protocols and guidelines. So we were just trying to track that, see where we're at, see if it makes sense, and see if we're doing the right thing.
Okay. So, I mean, basically, look, you always want to be able to respond to any call, but you don't want to send a fire unit to respond to an A or a B level call because that takes them off of the ability to respond to a fire call, especially because once they get involved, they can't leave that person. So you just wanted to make sure that if there were calls being held or even when there weren't, if the responses were being done by Escambia County Fire Rescue or PFD, that they were being done the right way so that we were managing the assets appropriately. Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So not all held calls are the same is essentially the message there. And, you know, you want to treat them appropriately. Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore for Escambia County. Eric, I got 10 seconds, but I got to know the answer. When are we getting the AMBUS?
Well, I keep telling you a couple months, the quickest answer in 10 seconds I can give you is it will be here before the skate park's open, so it can be available for you and the mayor.
Oh, that's
and everybody
a long
else.
Time. All right, fair enough.
No,
all of the wounded public officials and talk show hosts can be taken care of. Okay, I got you. You're funny.
That's right.
You're funny.
We're looking October. We are looking October. The money is finally cleared. The vendor's finally cleared. We've got to put it in the shop to get the air ride system put on it. So everything's finally coming together. We're looking at October, and we're rushing this.
All right. I'm counting on it for the skate park opening. Thanks for that. I appreciate that, Eric Gilmore.
Yes, it will be.
keep up the good work and the humor. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.